Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Sedano and Momo hanging out with you here on ESPN 710, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, the Navy Federal Credit Union has a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. So, Momo, we've got some people tweeting us during the show.
Okay.
Toby tweets us and says, "Hey, at Sedano, ketchup on tacos is not a black thing. I'm black. That's whack."
Excellent.
So, there you have it. And so it is not a consensus, apparently, according to him, is what he's saying, amongst the black community. But it does feel like it is cultural, based on our phone calls, that's for sure. 877-710-ESPN. Keep them coming on ketchup on tacos, yes or no. But Momo, I was doing a poll yesterday.
Okay.
And I asked, which of these is crazier? The Miami Dolphins plan of people going into to a football game, 15,000 fans in a 65,000-seat stadium, socially distant. However, let's not forget, you know, and they would bring people in and out of the stadium, kind of like you would plane and deplane a board and deplane an airplane, which I feel like could be challenging when there's alcohol involved. Then the other one was Draymond Green saying last week that he and Steph would destroy prime Shaq on the Lakers in the pick and roll, or Mike Tyson possibly coming back to boxing at 53 years old. Which of those three is crazier?
Okay, give me the list again. Give me the list.
Tyson. The Dolphins planning on trying to socially distance people and have 15,000 fans in their 65,000-seat stadium. Okay. Draymond Green saying he and Steph would destroy Shaq, prime Shaq, in the pick and roll. Or Mike Tyson possibly coming back at 53 years old to the boxing ring.
Mike Tyson's not coming back. This is Mike Tyson looked great working out, but the thing about fighting is like you have to be in a different frame of mind to fight. And Mike's been doing too many things with his life. Like, you know, he's more likely to be a great wrestler than a great boxer right now. Like, you can't just
back.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You should go back and do WWE. Like, you don't need to get in there and take a punch like at that age. I think he would try. I think he would train, but like training is one thing. Getting in there and actually getting hit and hitting someone is a totally different thing. Like, you have to have that ferocity. I don't know if he has that anymore.
What about if we did like a 3-round exhibition with him and like Evander Holyfield, like just an old guy's fight?
Nobody wants to see that. I mean, look.
Really? I'd watch it.
Curious? Yeah, because with the novelty of it, right? But then once you started boxing, you'd be like, oh, this is stupid. I said to my husband when I saw, because I was like, well, maybe he could fight B-Hop. Like, isn't B-Hop still trying to fight and he's in his 50s? Like, I mean, I don't
Yeah, no, but the too much of a weight discrepancy.
But, like, B-Hop's a little faster, right? Like, Hopkins is like, he can, you know, that'd be kind of interesting. You know, he's a little quicker and faster.
I mean, he fought at 50, Bernard Hopkins.
He fought at 50. I don't know. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see anybody get, I don't want to see old guys getting hurt. You want to see that? Yeah.
I mean, it's an inherent risk. You can get hurt if you're walking out of your house.
I feel less bad when they're like younger and stuff. Gray hair and stuff. You see his beard, it was like gray.
Yeah. If an athletic commission would sanction it, then I'm okay with it. Because that means they'd have to pass a medical test, you know?
Yeah. What's the oldest age that you would watch two guys fight?
Yeah,
so 50s is the largest. So would you watch? So you wouldn't watch anyone in their 60s fighting, 70s, 80s?
No.
We would watch.
No, I did watch Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, we would watch because we're jerks and there'd be like a curiosity factor. Somebody like you know, George Foreman says, I'm gonna fight. Like, I would watch. But
George Foreman was 42 when he fought Evander Holyfield for the heavyweight championship of the world.
A real fight, a real fight.
Yeah.
But like, how old is he now? He's got to be like close to 60?
No, yeah, he couldn't do it now. No, of course not. But like, people thought that was crazy back then.
I'll watch old people compete. Like, I will watch an old person like run a marathon, or I would watch them. I would maybe even like watch them a little bit in like a slow pitch softball game or something. But like, I don't want to watch them hit each other. Grandpa's fighting. No.
Right. But Momo, you're a big boxing fan, right? I didn't know that about you.
So when I started dating Nevin, this was like, I don't know, early 20s. I was in my early 20s, right? It was like a condition of our relationship. Like very early on,
I love it.
I was gonna have to be okay watching Friday Night Fights. Like we're gonna have to order the pay per view. And Nevin said, like after a little while, like he actually, you know, I kind of got into it. Like I was like, okay, all right, I can watch boxing. I'm a sports fan. Like we can do this. I've never watched boxing before, but like okay, except for I did watch Tyson. I would always watch him when he growing up. But he said like he knew I was the one. When we were like gonna go out on a Friday night and we were picking like a movie, what do you want to go see, blah blah blah, and I just said to him, I said, hey, do you want to go get Tommy's chili dogs and watch the Tyson fight? And he was like, seriously? And he was like,
it's like the really, you know, fun. The it's like the emoji with the hard eyes, that's what happened to him right there.
He was like, seriously, like, oh my god, you're the one for me. Like you would rather go watch the Tyson fight and eat chili dogs than go to the movies? Yes. So
and sold.
Also, other precondition of our relationship is that I had to watch every one of the Rocky movies. Not just Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
He was
so
like,
good.
Have you seen Rocky? And I was like, I think I saw Rocky 1 once. And he was like, no. So like one of my first Christmas presents was like the full set of all the Rockies. And I was like, is this for you or for me? But okay, we'll watch them. This is like
that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah, my wife loves the team sports. She loves football, basketball, you know, baseball. She's not into the boxing stuff so much. I mean, I watch it pretty much by myself. You know, but and even movies. She's a weird movie person too. She mostly likes movies. She's read the book or like cartoons or like, for example, last night, Dirty Dancing was on TV and it's her favorite movie. So we watched it and I didn't care. Like, it's fine. I've seen it a million times. Don't put baby in a corner. Like, I'm good. Uh-huh. There was like 30 minutes left. I was good with watching the end of it. But I feel like that's taking one for the team there. Like, let her, like, we can watch that movie together for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I just think there are things in our relationship, like, you know, we used to like trade off. So like once we had a baby, like we go to movies sometimes, like when my mom will come over, but like obviously not now. But we used to like trade off of like what we were going to watch on Netflix. So one week I would pick, another week he would pick. But we don't go too far in the other direction. Like I don't make him watch the like, you know, 1830s period drama from like, you know, from England. Like, I won't make him watch that.
Right.
Like, that's not even a chick flick. Like,
yeah, that's
he
fine.
Won't, and he won't make me watch, like, some really stupid action film or, like, comedy movie that, like, I would just never watch.
Right.
Like, you know, there's even for, like, even when it's your choice, we still don't go the whole. Like, if you want to watch that, you go watch that yourself.
Yeah. So here's an interesting dilemma for my wife.
All right.
Because she doesn't like sci-fi. And I love Star Wars and Star Trek even. And Arya, my oldest daughter, my 5-year-old, loves Star Wars. So she loves BB-8, the little robot. She thinks BB-8 is like the real hero of the entire thing. You know what I mean? And now she's getting it that Rey is the hero and all that stuff. So we just watched Rise of Skywalker together. So now she wants to watch them in order, which we can do on Disney Plus. So my wife's kind of like, I'm going to have to watch this, right? I'm like, well, I mean, if you want to spend time with the family, you're going to have to suck it up and watch Star Wars with us together. So now, this is the dilemma that she finds herself in.
I mean, there are times when you just have to get on board. It was like me with the boxing. I was like, okay. I mean, it's not really my thing, but I'll get into it.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I've tried, okay, we tried to get into wrestling. And he is a big WWE fan. He like subscribes to the channel. He watches it all the time. When Ronda Rousey started fighting, like I started watching it a little bit.
Just I remember.
I was trying.
You told me.
And I tried. It's just, it's not my thing. Okay. It's like, I don't get it. Fine. Like, you know, but I got to a place where I didn't hate it. Right. Like I could watch it.
Sure.
And that was good for me. Cause like once I started to learn the characters, then I was like, okay, this is, you know, I still don't watch it. Like, by choice, but like if he wants to watch it, I'll watch it with him. Like if he wants to watch like SummerSlam, if he wants to watch, you know, WrestleMania, like I'll jump in there and watch a little bit because now I have a little basis with the characters. But like I think it's probably more fun for him to just watch by himself.
Yeah,
because if you're watching with somebody who's not that into it and going like, why does that one guy just keep saying yes all the
time? I'd rather just be like, all right, leave me alone, let me just watch it by myself. Exactly. Now we are big documentary people and we are kind of hitting that golden age of documentaries right now. I mean, 30 for 30 produces amazing ones. We're watching one right now with The Last Dance, which I actually want to ask you a question about those Bulls teams and whose legacy they impacted the most. We'll do that in the next segment so we can have like a full discussion on it. But there's a Kobe documentary coming out, as we all know, right? Like he had the crew basically following him in his last season.
It's coming out. Well, that's a whole story.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, we know it's in the can, right? Like we do know that.
We know it's a theoretical possibility.
Okay.
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 Yeah, I can get into the weeds with this one if you want some Hollywood back.
Yeah, give me some dirt.
Yeah,
give me some dirt.
Do that one with you.
Okay.
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to break.
Oh no, we can do it right now. We got four more minutes. Go ahead, give it to us.
Okay. Well, listen, Kobe was filming his last couple of years, and I think the way this happened, there's two stories. Okay. The first one is that he was filming Muse, which he was actually filming a documentary before Muse that will never see the light of day, but it was actually a full cut with all these interviews from other people. He saw it and said, "Ah, no, I don't want other people telling my story. I want to tell my own story." So they tore that one up. I don't know if they tore up the actual film or if it still exists someplace, but they tore that up. He did Muse. And then I just think like he kind of liked having people around. Like I just think he liked recording stuff on film because he was already moving into this place in his life where he was going to, "I'm going to be a storyteller. I'm going to be a filmmaker, blah, blah, blah." So it's like, you might as well get the stuff on tape, right? You might as well get it on film. And he just had him around. Plus, I think it's almost like when you live in a reality TV show, you get used to the cameras. And then it's like nice to have these confessionals all the time, right? Like it's like somebody to talk to. And he liked having the production crew around. Like they were, he was friends with those guys, right? And we all saw them, and there's a part of me that's like nervous to think about, you know, all these off the record conversations that we would have, like when we were walking out with Kobe, that were like, those guys were around, they were filming all of those. Right. Vanessa's going to control that footage.
Sure. Right?
And my understanding is like, Kobe didn't want to make a documentary with that anytime soon. Like he wasn't in, I've heard that there is a cut, but I don't think he was in any rush to get that out because he understood like, you don't make that cut right away. You don't do that early. You need some time for people to get nostalgic about you and miss you as a player. Now, that was what he felt before he passed, right? So we have no idea what Vanessa is going to feel about this kind of footage and what she would want to do with it. We don't know what Natalia, who, you know, Vanessa has said she wants Natalia to be able to take over, you know, Kobe's production empire. So like nobody knows where that stands, but it's gonna be up to her. And you know, Vanessa is still grieving, she's still figuring out what life is now. Like that's why I just don't see anything happening with that footage for a long time, just because like why would you be in a hurry to do something with that? But obviously there's great interest in it. Now one thing I have heard, which is really, this is kind of fun, Kobe was very aware that Michael had filmed his final season. He knew that footage like that existed. I don't know if it was because Michael told him or if he just heard about it through the industry. And Kobe actually had a meeting with Michael's folks, right? Michael's business partners, pitching himself as a producer for The Last Dance.
Right.
Before they settled on Mike Tolan as the executive producer. So like Kobe wanted to make Michael Jordan's story. That idea is like amazing to me. I'm glad they went with Mike Tolan. You need to have a little editorial distance from it, right? But that's the level of ambition Kobe had, right?
Yeah, I hear you. I get it. So let me ask you this though, because it's been released already that in June we're going to have the Maguire Sosa documentary. Yeah. How they basically brought baseball back. But at what cost, right? Because then we had this issue with steroids. I don't know about you, and we could talk about this on the other side a little bit because I do want to get into that, and I want to get into the question of which team was most impacted? Since we were talking documentaries and we kind of started talking about The Last Dance, which team was most impacted, their legacy, which team and players were most impacted by the Jordan Bulls? We'll get into that. Plus, some stuff on Katie's return. We'll get into all of it coming up. And I'm sorry. I know I was supposed to take calls there, and I didn't. And we'll take your calls. I know people are angry and adamant and passionate about ketchup on tacos. Yes or no? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mama Momo hanging out. We're back in 4 minutes. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out with us today, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with our friend Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. So earlier, Momo, I tweeted that you are up for a Webby, a Webby Award in the category of sports best individual episodes, miniseries, and specials for your 30 for 30, your audio 30 for 30, The Sterling Affairs. And in the, you know, their hashtag, the Webby's hashtag is five-word speech. So I said, I can't wait to hear Momo's five-word speech,
okay.
To which Lenny said, Lenny tweeted us and said, quote, I really went to Cal, mic drop.
How about, what if I told you? That's good. What if I told you?
Oh, that would be funny.
That's a 30 for 30.
That's funny. So let's finish up our quick documentary conversation here in a second, but let's go to the phones. We have people that want to weigh in. We've been having an overarching conversation today about ketchup on tacos. I say no to ketchup on tacos. I know that this is a cultural situation here potentially, but we have been told that that is not the case. That not every culture, just because most think that ketchup belongs on tacos, believes that that is the way we should go. So we've had some infighting, even amongst the cultures today. So let's go to Alex in Santa Clarita. Alex, what say you?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
George, listen to you every day, man. Big fan.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
And Momo, congratulations on your baby.
Thank you. And George, too. Everybody, that's really nice. Yeah. They all say congrats to me. But George had a baby 1 week before me. Or George's baby.
I did not. I didn't actually have the baby, but you get her point. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats to you, too, George. I didn't
know. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Yes.
Cool, man. Hey, so check it out. I'm Mexican-American. I've been eating tacos for 47 years now, right? And you do not put ketchup on freaking tacos. The number one gringo taco that exists is the Jack in the Box crunchy taco. That 99-cent taco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
That's the only exception.
Right. And that's just got like a little hot sauce in it, right? Though
yeah.
It's not ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah. So the combination of that hot sauce with the ketchup, damn, that's actually pretty good. But that's it. Other than nothing else.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mitch on the mobile. What's up, Mitch?
How we doing, guys?
Hey.
Congratulations on your baby, Ramona.
Thank you.
Mitch has already thanked me a million times.
Without us fathers in the Lamar stage, right?
Yep.
Without us.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a big taco guy. If it has refried beans, I'm going to bury it in ketchup. I'm more of a pizza guy. That's the best. That's the best takeout. I don't understand hard shells. And they never hold up for me.
What do you mean you don't understand hard shells? What are we talking about here?
I mean, hard shells, it always breaks on me.
I mean, that's fine. Like, I'm a soft shell guy, too. But, I mean, the understanding part. I'd rather have a soft shell and then eat tortilla chips.
Okay. But pizza's the best. Great. Have a nice day. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
They're just going off the board, Mitch. I mean, we're not talking pizza today.
Starfish and Coffee has written us. That's Tim Haddock. Okay, that's my buddy from the LA Daily News. He said, I've been putting ketchup on refried beans since I was 3, to the horror of my tias and cousins. It's an unconventional move, but I learned it young and never outgrew it. Ketchup on refried beans.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
What about pickles and tacos?
No.
That's what Dan Aaron wants to know. Pickles?
Nope.
Pickled vegetables, like if you had like
pickled cabbage or whatever, maybe. Yeah.
Cabbage, yeah. Like that would be a good compliment.
Yeah. Let me grab Xander. Xander, what's up?
Okay. Got a little confession. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to hate to say it, but I love my Mexican people. God knows I love y'all to death. Mi casa su casa, delicioso. I put a little ketchup on my tacos, but I did once. But then I said, you know what? Let the tacos be. Because tacos are delicious and awesome.
Yes.
So if I catch anybody putting ketchup on tacos, I'm not talking to you.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Xander. Appreciate it. We will end that.
That was a good call.
End the conversation on that for now. We will come back to it later. Momo, we were talking about the documentary, the Kobe documentary, yeah. The Last Dance. We mentioned there's a Maguire Sosa documentary coming up. There's also a Bruce Lee documentary coming out. Now, that to me, fascinating on a number of different levels. I also was a huge fan of his son, Brandon Lee, who also tragically died on while filming the movie The Crow, the original Crow movie. And to me, that would be just tremendous. Look, I would guess Kareem would probably be in that documentary, right? Like, he actually was in a movie fighting Bruce Lee.
Yeah. I have heard the Bruce Lee doc is awesome. Okay. Yeah. So I got to be one of my good friends at ESPN is a guy named Adam Newhouse. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
He's our director of development, which means he gets all the pitches. Like, everybody, if you have a pitch, if you have an idea, you go to Adam Newhouse. Right. So then he kind of sees them all the way through. He was the guy who, you know, got me to do Sterling Affairs as a podcast and all that stuff. And we're buddies and we talk about all this stuff. He says the Bruce Lee doc is awesome. And the Sosa and Maguire doc is awesome. And it's like, they have, I think there's another one. I'm not sure if it's announced yet. I'm going to tell you during the break that's coming out this year also, or that they're working on.
Lance Armstrong?
I think there's that one. And there's
There was the Showtime one. Did you see that one? The Showtime Lance Armstrong one?
Yeah, there's that
one. A couple years ago?
There's another one. I don't know. I don't know if I could say it. I have to look it up to see.
Okay, We can wait.
But that one's going to be great too. But I think they're really excited about Sosa and Maguire. He's been telling me about that one for years because it takes a long time to get everyone to do it. And like the thing with 30 for 30s is like they don't do a documentary unless they're going to get everyone.
Yeah,
like, they're not going to do Sosa and Maguire and do like a ride around. Like, oh well, Sosa didn't want to participate.
Right.
Like, they're not going to do it until you have yeses.
Well, and the Sammy part is fascinating because, you know, he has done very little media since.
Yeah.
And the few times we've seen him, people are just, you know, marveling at his pigmentation changing.
Correct.
Yes.
And I don't know what Sammy looks like in the doc. I don't know if it's before he started to change the way he looked or after.
Right.
I think it would be after.
Yeah. It sounds like it would be after, I guess. It's been a while since his pigmentation has changed. So.
Yeah. So I know they're really excited about this one. You know, look, 30 for 30s are always really good. They very rarely get like the full, you know, attention of the sports world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's just other stuff going on. Like, and I think that this is a great opportunity for people. Like, I remember when we released Sterling Affairs last summer, we were initially going to come out around the 5-year anniversary back in April.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like our target date. But then we had production delays and we had some other issues. And so it was like, okay, maybe we'll come around the finals. And I said, no, don't put it out during the finals. Nobody's going to listen to it. We're all focused on the finals. And you know, they said, okay, what about when would you ideally want to do it? I said, do it when there's absolutely nothing else going on. Like, there's no basketball.
Right.
People have started to miss basketball.
Yep.
You know, we haven't had training camp start yet. And they said, how about like late August? I was like, perfect. That's perfect. Like, there's college football starting, NFL starting. But other than that, we have our, you know, a little bit of baseball, but it's not really pennant race yet. That's not till September. So, like, that's a perfect time frame because people who are basketball fans will listen to it. This is why the Jordan doc is so perfect right now, because it's like we don't have basketball, but we really miss it. And I don't know about you, but I've been living in 1998 for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I've been writing stories every week on this because it's more fun to live in 98 than it is 2020. 2020 is not such a fun year.
2020 stinks. I said it yesterday. It sucks. Like, let's be real.
Let's just do a do-over on 2020.
My God. Or let's just – look, you know what? I'm good to just go to 21. Yeah, like, that's fine.
Fast forward.
Yeah. Look, everyone – and look, to be honest, think about it. When you're 20, 20 kind of sucks. You're not 21. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do the things that you can do when you're 21. Let's just go to 21. Everyone will enjoy 21.
Good point. Yeah, good call. You're right, because 20, you're just like waiting to be 20. I remember being 20 when I did an internship in New York City that summer, right? I did internship.
Fancy.
Internship, yeah. It was at Sports Illustrated for Women. It was like the coolest internship. But I didn't turn 21 until July 19th. So the first 6 weeks that I was there, like all of the people I was living with and hanging out with were 21, and I was not. And it was like, there was a couple of bars I could kind of sneak into where they didn't card you, so you'd go there. But, like, for the most part, like, everybody got to go out except for me. And that really stunk.
Yeah.
It was like really sad. I was like, can we go to that place over in Amsterdam? They won't card me there. Yeah. Dang, you know?
Yeah, that does stink. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know what stinks, too, is a bunch of dudes got their legacies busted by Jordan and those Bulls teams. Oh. Let's get into that. Who was the player and team most impacted by those Jordan Bulls teams? We'll get to that on the other side. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I love this song. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Momo hanging out with us today. We're always happy to have her on board. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. And again, if you missed any one of our interviews during the week, you can check out the interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. So Momo, Greg Bergman told me a story yesterday. He and I were doing some post-show discussions. And he said, were you listening to Mason in Ireland? And I said, no, I wasn't, because we had an issue with the air conditioning. So I was dealing with that here at the house. And Greg, tell Momo what you told me.
So Mason comes into the segment and he says, oh, so I heard George Sedano doing something like this on his show. So I want to do the same thing. I thought it was a great idea. Let's shout out local Mexican restaurants, local taco places for Taco Tuesday and for Cinco de Mayo. And so he goes, I'll go first. I'm going to shout out El Cholo and Tito's Tacos.
Ooh.
And first
now,
of all,
I can get down with the Tito's Tacos. Yes. That's
now, listen,
sure.
Both
I go there all the time. And it was like a big, long wait to get some tacos. And
yeah.
It's good. But like, you know,
both are famous. Excellent. Both are excellent. They're great places to go to. The whole point of at least our thing was to do shout out the local mom and pop places that need the business maybe a little more than the most frequented taco place in LA and a chain place was the point, you know?
So, and then the other one was from John Ireland, which I think is better than all of these.
You got to hear this, Momo. Go ahead, Greg.
So John Ireland being the most John Ireland thing that could possibly choose.
Yes.
In the Ivory Tower, Ireland. Go ahead.
Just in the ocean.
He chooses Javier's restaurant at Pelican Hill.
I mean, for the love of God.
Which has $3 signs when you look it up on Google.
Look, Javier's is like upscale.
It's delicious.
Foodie, you know. Yeah. Like that's like owned by like a Top Chef guy. Like that's like,
yes.
Javier's
yes.
really good, but
yes.
Come on.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, all right. Do you guys listen? I live in the Valley. Can I shout out
some
8 places? All right.
Go.
Number one in the Valley to me, you got to go to Los Toros. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's right out here in Chatsworth. It's the kind of restaurant. There's like, there might be 8 rooms in there. Okay. Like you walk in and you're like, it's so full of people. There's so many people all the time. Okay. Now, obviously not right now. I'm sure they're open for delivery and takeout and stuff, but like the food is so good. Like sometimes Devin and I'll just go out there and just order like the appetizer sampler, because they have like all this stuff on there that's so good. Los Toros they have the biggest giant margarita glass you've ever seen. If you ever come out to the Valley, go to Los Toros. Okay. Then if we're not talking Valley, okay, if we're talking just like LA area, Guisado's Tacos. Do you guys know where Guisado's is?
Oh, I've heard of it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've never been, but I've heard of it.
They make their own masa. They do their own – the masa is, you know, like right there. You can see them making it. They're, like, pounding out the tortillas with the masa, okay? And they just have, like, amazing – like, the chicken tinga. They have the mole. They have – oh, just so many good braises, okay? That's how they do their tacos. Like, the guisados means braises, right? Those are so good. And then – and we're going to go – if we want to come back out to the Valley, if you want to hit a taco truck – not even a restaurant, a taco truck. Priscilla's. It's a taco truck that's usually on Valerio Street in Reseda. It's kind of over there by the CVS. And if you just go over there at night, you just get something with the marinated pork on it, like anything. Quesadillas, ooh, nachos, everything. Priscilla's Taco Truck in Reseda.
I love it.
Go.
I love it.
Okay?
That's how you do it.
About.
That's right. How you do it, Mason in Ireland. Come on.
You know, I read this article in the LA Times. I'll tweet this out. It was maybe a couple weeks ago, about how taco trucks are having a hard time during the stay-at-home orders. Like,
sure.
Some of our, like, most favorite taco trucks all over Los Angeles are having a hard time just because people are just not leaving their house that much.
Right.
Even though, like, you know, that's the definition of takeout, right? Is a taco truck, right?
Yeah.
So I'll tweet that out. That it'll have the locations of where you can find those taco trucks, because they're all just kind of hanging on as much as possible. Every restaurant right now, everybody's just trying to get through this and hang on as best they can.
For sure. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that. So great shout outs, Momo. Thank you so much for the shout outs.
Thank you.
So we'll get back into sports here real quick. So we've been talking about The Last Dance. You've been writing about it every week. Let's get a little nerdy basketball. Go back to 1998.
Okay.
Which player and or team do you believe was most impacted by the Jordan Bulls?
Oh, definitely Karl Malone and John Stockton. Like those teams, right? Like that's
They were there twice.
Yeah, and they were the team that, like, you know, if the Jordan Bulls don't exist, I do think they would have won a title. And it, like, hurts both of their legacies that they never did. So that's the combo. I would say Stockton and Malone, right? That would be number one for me. Number two would probably be Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
That's a big mark on his legacy that he didn't win. And, you know, he won the MVP that year, and then Jordan beats him. And then, you know, we just watched that episode. We're like, poor Barkley, man. Like, they do a pretty good job on Jordan. And then John Paxson, of all people, beats him.
Right. Wide open.
On their home floor. And God, I forgot that game was in Phoenix. Clyde Drexler is another one. And then I would say Seattle. You know, the Sonics, like, that was probably their best chance of winning. With Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, those guys, like who else would you say? Patrick Ewing? That's got to be on.
Yeah.
Be
so
on the list.
Let's get into some of the people he faced more regularly in the East. Right. Now, Mark Jackson was on First Take yesterday, and I don't know who asked him the question about this, but he was asked about whose legacy was most negatively impacted by Michael Jordan's greatness, and here's what Mark said.
I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it either. So.
I think anybody that played, whether it be Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, all of the great players during that time that did not have the opportunity to win a championship because of the greatness of Michael Jordan outside of his retirement, where Hakeem Olajuwon was the best player on both sides of the floor for those 2 years. I think it's a hit to those guys because they're not only first ballot Hall of Famers, but those guys are absolutely home run talent that doesn't get enough credit and appreciation only because the light shines so bright on Michael Jordan, deservedly so.
So he agrees with you, but I think Patrick Ewing, because here's the thing. They faced the Knicks in the playoffs six different times in that stretch, okay? And went 5-1. The only time the Knicks beat them was the famous Scottie Pippen was mad that Phil drew up the last play for Tony Kukoc when Michael was retired.
By the way, that's coming out in episode 7.
Oh, okay.
They're going to get into that.
So, like, the Knicks are got to be in that conversation. And, you know, Zach Lowe did a piece recently about the 98 Indiana Pacers. And I had this conversation with Byron not that long ago because he played with Reggie Miller and those guys. And he said, man, those teams put the fear of God in them in that series. Yeah. And, you know, that's what Zach wrote about, basically, that was their toughest game seven. Of all the game sevens, they didn't play very many of them, but of the game sevens that they played, that was the toughest one and the scariest one because Reggie and that group put the fear of God in them.
Interesting. Yeah, I would, that sounds right. You know, I forget about those great Pacers teams, right? With Rick Smits. You know?
They only faced the one time, though. They only played one time in the playoffs, which was that 98 conference finals. They went seven games. It was a 3-point game in game seven. And it was the second time in the Jordan era they went seven. The other time was against the Knicks.
Right. And, you know, and I think, like, there's so many great players. It's a good point Mark Jackson has about so many of the great players who never won because of the greatness of Michael Jordan. Like, we do think of them differently. Yeah. I think when you're a champion, I think it changes the way you're thought of, like, forevermore. Like, I will always think of, you know, people who won on those teams. Like, you just, it's like it's like the first line on your business card, NBA champion. You know, it's like the first line on your Wikipedia page. Whereas, like, there's always something missing from the resumes of Karl Malone and Stockton and Clyde Drexler, Barkley,
yeah.
Reggie Miller, yeah. Patrick Ewing, yeah. All those guys. And you know what? They're probably good enough to have won. They just happened to be in an era with Michael.
Right. They ran into the buzzsaw. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the reality of it. And look, I think people like us, right, who are basketball aficionados, like, we appreciate those dudes. But, I think there is something to be said about that. And it's why this generation of basketball players was like, oh, hell no, that's not happening to me. I'm going to go play where I want to play, you know?
Yeah. Like, honestly, I would, you know, I think Kawhi Leonard's legacy is already set because he's been a champion both, you know, twice already. Like, his legacy is there. Whereas, like, other stars of his generation, not there at all. I mean, like, Russell, like, I would put Kawhi over Russell Westbrook, even though, like, accomplishment-wise, like, Kawhi hasn't won an MVP like Westbrook, right?
Agreed.
Kawhi hasn't won an MVP like Harden. But Kawhi's legacy is higher than them because he's won two championships.
Yeah, look, there are plenty of guys, even Kyrie, as wacky as he can be sometimes, will always say he hit a monster shot, right? The biggest shot in Cleveland history. Yep. And, you know, in that series, he had a 40-point performance the game before that, right? Like, we can talk about all that stuff that some of these other guys just don't have. Speaking of Kyrie, let's get into KD and the potential of KD coming back to the playoffs when the NBA, if and when the NBA resumes. And I don't know if you saw this, Momo, Adele made the internet go wild. So we'll get to that. We've got some people who still want to chime in on the say no to ketchup on your tacos. We have people on the phones. If you want to weigh in on that, it is my campaign promise and my campaign slogan in 2020, 877-710-ESPN. Say no to ketchup on tacos, especially during Cinco de Mayo. We'll take a quick break. We'll take your calls. We'll get into all that stuff. We're back in 3 minutes here. Momo hanging out. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Yeah. Sedano with you here. Momo hanging out today. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN television, and listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account following the broadcast at 8 o'clock, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. Momo's hanging out with us, giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let me ask you a couple quick football things that popped up, and we also have news. Jeff Passan was just on SportsCenter and said something interesting, so we'll get to that in a second. But a couple of football things that stood out to me that we've been talking about. We're going to have Lewis Riddick on tomorrow to talk about this because he brought it up on Golic and Wingo and Get Up recently. And by the way, we also have Sean McVay on Friday at 11:30. At 11:30, Sean McVay will join us. So just make sure you put that in the calendar, 11:30, Sean McVay. So Lewis Riddick tomorrow at 11, Sean McVay at 11:30. But Lewis Riddick said, why not Cam to the Rams, Momo? What do you think? Cam to the Rams.
Ooh, don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. That puts a little pressure on Jared Goff, which, I don't know, might be good.
Yeah.
I know they've tried to invest in him, but, like, I think everybody's kind of in this stage now where, like, yeah, you saw Jameis Winston going to New Orleans. Like, there's this sense, like, you should have a really good backup quarterback these days. One, if your guy gets hurt, you got to have somebody who can step right in. But two, like, you know, I would like to see Cam go to some place where he can play, right? Like, I'm still rooting for Cam to go to the Patriots because I think that would be fun. But if he doesn't go someplace like that, like, I do like Cam to the Rams because, like, you know, Jared Goff hasn't had any pressure on him the last couple of years, like, internally. It's all come from external pressure. And he did pretty well when he had that before, right? When he had somebody behind him, you know, I thought he did well that pushed him.
So I have started to loosen on this. I was very firm initially on, I didn't think it was a good idea. Coaches hate, distractions, particularly in that sport, right? Like, it's the thing that drives them most insane. I think there would be a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding Cam. I do think, like you, Cam should be a starter somewhere, and I'd like to see that. I think he's deserving of that. He's also been on the shelf for a while, so my guess is his body has healed. If he was going to take a backup situation, though, I have been pretty staunch in believing that Pittsburgh is the best place for him. Number one, Ben is hurt a lot. Like, let's face it, he doesn't stay upright that often anymore. Yeah. And I also think that Ben has been talking about retirement for years. And I know he signed a 2-year deal, yeah, but I don't know if I'm confident that he's going to live through that deal. Like, I don't mean live, like literally live. I mean live through it from a football perspective. So I think that he gets into a culture like that with a real structure. There's never any issues in Pittsburgh in the sense of, yeah, they had the Antonio Brown stuff, but they were able to get through that. Tomlin is a rock. He's been there forever. I feel like that would be a great place for him. But I have softened a little bit on the Cam stuff. I wonder what McVay would say. I don't know if he's a free agent, right? So he can comment on it if he wanted to.
Is he a free agent? Did they just,
yeah, they cut him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They, yeah, so he can comment. I think McVay has to say all the right things right now, right? Like, he can't be openly pining for a backup to his guy, but, right. I mean, you gotta get Jared Goff back right now. If you start like openly pining, for somebody to challenge him, that's sending a certain message. You know, the Raiders have certainly done that. John Gruden's done that, right? He's sort of like lit a fire under Derek Carr. You know, I could see that as a landing spot for Cam, right? People always talk about the Bears with him, right? But
yeah, they just traded for Foles though, so I don't see that happening.
So that doesn't seem like an option anymore. I still want New England. Don't you just want to see what would do with Cam?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's just a totally different setup situation for him. But like, you know, I don't know if he has it in him to play for Belichick, because Belichick is a rough guy to play for. But like, if those two could get on the same page, I mean, Cam's a really talented football player still, and he was running for his life the last few years. You know, like, he was always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him be able to. We haven't seen him with a real offensive line with a lot of weapons. Like, I'd like to see him be in a good situation again.
The physical pounding, Momo, that he's taken over his career is incredible. The fact that he's been able to withstand most of it is just insane.
Yeah, it's just, and I feel bad for him, because I think a lot of the way we judge him is based off like what he's been playing through, and he's clearly not healthy.
Right, right, for sure. The other thing that, and this is the funny thing, right? Like, mm-hmm, yesterday when Mina was on, there was like a story. The NFL storylines are so much stranger than the NBA. Like, any little goofy thing in the NFL, depending on who's saying it, becomes like a real story. Whereas, yeah, there's some of that in the NBA, but I think sometimes like we leave the obvious stuff alone. Like, for example, OBJ said yesterday, I'm going to have the best season I've ever had. And it was like a thing on every talk show, like OBJ saying that he's going to have the best season. And I'm like, what else should he say? You know what I'm saying? Like that just seems silly. So Sam Darnold apparently yesterday said, quote, the Jets won't be taking the post Tom Brady Patriots any more lightly. And that's a story today. And I'm like, what is he supposed to say? Is he supposed to say, they're going to stink, we're going to kick their ass? I mean, I guess he could say that, but like, that's just not what quarterbacks say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're like, I think we're starved for content right now.
That too.
We're really, like the NFL, we're like, you don't get to hear from these guys that much unless they tweet a quote, right? So like, you don't get interviews very often where you have a good sound and good sound bites, but like, anything's a story right now.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Anything. Yeah, anything is a story. There's
George, come on. You make a story out of anything, right?
I mean, I can. Shameless. I can do it. I've been doing this for a long time. So real quick, let's Jeff Passan, here's what he's got on the 12 o'clock Sports Center, noon Eastern Sports Center, pardon me. Here's what he said. I have the quote here. He said, says baseball is on the path to good news. June 10th at the earliest for spring training and July 1st at the earliest for games, says the Cleveland Indians told their players yesterday to be ready. Not necessarily hard news, but an informed perspective from our buddy Jeff Passan.
Interesting. All right. I mean, I haven't heard anybody putting dates on it. I've heard that kind of like general talk, right? But I think the reason why nobody puts dates on, like, you know, I've been calling around saying like, okay, when are you guys open your practice facilities, right? Right. And no one wants to commit to anything because everybody wants to be in this place where there's not an expectation. So if you put a date on it and then you don't get to that date, then, you know, you've disappointed people, right? It's seen as a setback.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the, that's why that surprises me that we have anything, you know, very specific on it.
877-710-ESPN. All day today, our overarching conversation has been my position of say no to ketchup on tacos. In honor of Cinco de Mayo yesterday, I felt like Adam Jones, it was a TMZ story that he doesn't want to be shamed into putting ketchup on his tacos. So we've had people on the phones, and we have a few more. Let's take a couple more, and then I want to get into a potential coaching hire in the NBA that's out there, Adele making the internet go wild, KD's return, and the alleged beef between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So we have all those things to catch up on here real quick, and then we'll talk ketchup after we catch up. Get it? Let's go to Kim in Long Beach. Kim, what do you got?
Hey, George and Momo.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Yes, ketchup is a cultural thing. It's not the authentic made tacos. It's the when you buy the seasoning packet, the McCormick's or the Lari's, and you make a little meat, that's what you put ketchup on.
Okay.
Not the real taco. So I know what Marcellus is talking about because, you know, that's a ghetto taco.
All right, Kim.
You put Lowry's on taco meat.
The little seasoning packet you use.
Yeah.
You put it,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the ones you put ketchup on. It's okay for those.
Okay,
but like, here's a question. Could you, if you're going to do ketchup on the taco, couldn't you just go to like Taco Bell and get like a huge handful of like the taco sauce at least instead?
Yeah, I guess you could, but how many do you ask them for?
I mean, they throw in a bunch in a bag if you want it. Yeah.
But you know what? You run out of those. You got a result to the ketchup.
All right.
Okay.
Kim, thank you so much. Stay safe.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Let's go to Willie in Tujunga. Willie.
George, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, usted.
Momo, love you, girl.
Thank you.
Anyway, George, did you see the movie Dirty Harry? It starts off where there's this pimp in a big Cadillac. He gets shot underneath the San Francisco Bay Bridge. And he's looking at the crime scene, and his buddy, his partner, I can't remember his name. Anyway, Dirty Harry's looking at this crime scene. It's gruesome. And his partner says, Harry, doesn't anything get to you? And he says, yes. People that put ketchup on hot dogs, it's the same thing with tacos, man. You just don't do it. If I ever did that, I'm from Kansas City, but I live in Los Angeles now. My mother would fly out here, and I can't tell you what she'd do to me. Anyway, I could tell you guys, you just don't do it. You know what you put ketchup on? French fries, man. That's it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, Willie.
French fries is the only thing, man. And you guys have a great afternoon. Be safe. Momo, love you, girl. Don't forget it. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
All right, Willie. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That was a great call. Wait, that was. Listen, you know what he did? You know what he did well on that?
He set it up.
He set it up, and when it was time to go, he said goodbye.
Yeah, he said goodbye to us. Usually it's the other way around. Yeah. Yeah, he broke up with us before we could break up with him.
That was great too, but it was like awesome. It's like leaving wanting more.
He is a professional caller, Willie. You are a professional talk radio caller. Let's go to Arnold. Arnold, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, bro? I'm from New York. We don't really eat tacos. I don't know about the ketchup on tacos, but I feel like the mix have never been the same since Jordan ever saw them, and New York has never been the same. Ever at all in any other way. The Knicks are still hurting right now. They still need that number one draft pick.
Well, you know what? It's funny you bring that up. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Is he gone?
Under any circumstances, that's a chopped cheese in New York now. We're talking about a chopped cheese sandwich. Once you play catch for me.
Okay. Thank you, Arnold. Appreciate it. Now, I know he said he's a New Yorker living in LA and he's a Knicks fan. Momo, it actually is a perfect segue. The rumors are hot on Tom Thibodeau, okay?
Okay.
Tibbs to the Knicks or the Rockets are the rumors. What say you?
That's interesting. Well, the Knicks make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Because Leon Rose is the new GM of the Knicks, or president of basketball operations. Scott Perry's still the GM. Sorry about that. I didn't know that. Mix that up there. He's had a long relation with Tibbs. He knows him as a coach. He's had a lot of players play for him. Like, they know each other. I've definitely heard that name. I've heard Van Gundy's name there. You know, I like it's interesting to think about like a coaching search right now, because we're like, haven't even finished this season, and what are we going to do? I almost forgot the Knicks need to hire a coach. I almost did, right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they forgot too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's right. They still need to hire a coach. And not that their G League guy, Mike Miller, who's actually done a pretty good job since he took over. But, you know, I think what's, you know, they kind of made that, you know, clear that's going to be a short-term thing. I think Houston is an interesting one, because he's got that Jeff Van Gundy blood, right? Like, Van Gundy has a history in Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on Van Gundy's staff, right? And all those guys are all friends, and they're sort of, you know, from the same coaching tree. Mike D'Antoni's still the coach there, and I'm really interested to see what happens with that team the rest of this season, whatever that means, whatever mm-hmm. that ends up being, because, you know, obviously they left Mike in a pretty precarious situation. But like we said earlier in the show, if we get an NBA playoffs, like, do you have any idea how those are going to go after 3 month layoff?
No.
You know, 3 or 4 month layoff? Like,
right.
Do we know if they're going to be a 7-game series, or is it going to be a 5 best of 5?
Right.
Is there even really a home court advantage, because there's not going
to
be fans?
There's definitely not that. There's definitely not. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. So to me, like the Rockets were going to play that small ball. And a lot of what you always worry about with the Rockets is that they run out of gas towards the end of the year, because they are playing small rotations. Well, you know what? Everybody's been resting for the last few months, right? Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I'm not really into – I think the Rockets are a sneaky, dangerous team in this year's playoffs if we get them.
I think Tibbs should go to a young team, because if I'm James Harden, I want nothing to do with Tibbs. That's just the reality of it. Yeah, I don't want him I know that James plays a lot of minutes anyway, but, like, yeah, I'm not running him to the ground. What favors? There's a lot of talk about KD's return. We have less than a minute. What do you think favors a KD return more? Like a shorter playoff series? Like if they were playing like 5 games as opposed to 7?
Yeah, 3 games. Yeah, I think so. Because, like, you know, look. Also, if we don't start playing until like July or August, he's got time.
Yeah. Momo, thanks for hanging out today. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to you guys for calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Momo, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.